morning's reading is from 1 Samuel chapter 17, verse 40. It's on page 341 of the Church Bible. Then he took his staff in his hand, chose 5 smooth stones from the stream, put them in the pouch of his shepherd's bag, and with his sling in his hand, approached the Philistine. Lord, we give thanks for Paul, and we ask that his message will be thought-provoking and glorifying to you. So, Lord, give him the words and the message that we need to hear. We ask that you bless him as he comes up now. Amen.
Amen.
Thank you. Good morning.
Good morning.
Great to be here with you. Appreciate the fellowship that we have with you and coming along and spending a morning together. Trust that your fellowship and life and everything else in between is good with you all, and that God is always faithful to us. I hope that reading wasn't too long for this morning. I'm just going to share some thoughts with you this morning. You have some great Bible teachers that come along here. I've seen some of their names, so I'll let them do all the Bible teaching. I'm just going to going to bring some thought-provoking thoughts to you. So we just read there in 1 Samuel chapter 17 and verse 40. And obviously we all know, and you've probably heard a million sermons on David and Goliath and all that went on. But there's an unsung hero that we very rarely hear about in that whole story. And that is the stone. So I want to give some airspace and time space to that stone, because it was that stone and the importance of it, the shape of it, that brought the Philistine down. And so if you want a theme for my message this morning, it's embracing obscurity. Here is this stone in this brook that was in this brook, I don't know how many years or centuries, but this stone had just lay in obscurity, ready one day for a young shepherd boy to stoop down and to select it because of its shape. And because of the work that had happened over the years, of the water, the storm water, the gentle trickle of water, and everything in between, all the sand that had passed over it, all the stuff that happens to pebbles, to rocks, to stones that are on our beaches, they end up rounded and they end up with a shape particular to its environment. And that's what had happened with this stone. We'd probably call it a great skimmer, wouldn't we? But Because we go, when we go out skimming and we see a nice lake and we see that it's nice and still, we look down for those and we select, don't we? Certain types of stone that if we were to put some power behind them and skim them across the water, we count the jumps, don't we? And here we have a stone that has been in this water, just minding its own business. And yet there was a day and there was a time that it was selected to kill a giant. And the reason why I've called this little talk this morning, Embracing Obscurity, we're living in an era, in an age, in a culture where to be obscure is to be weird. To be of nondescript, to have no title, to have people not looking at us or liking us if you're on Facebook or Instagram or TikTok. There is such a culture of wanting fame, whether that's in the world. We have so many influencers now, don't we, that are posting all kinds of stuff, trying to be an influencer, trying to make themselves and put themselves out there. Churches are caught up in this culture too, trying to be the big church, trying to present themselves, you know, as something. And yet, as I just look through this thought and ponder through this thought of obscurity, I realize that it's quite a biblical principle. And that the obscurity is important because that's where the work of God is done. In fact, we just sang one of the lines on those hymns. It says that the power of God is at work in me to change me. And that changing is not always because we're bad. Very often we preach about that, don't we? You know, we've got to get rid of sin, and we've got to get rid of this. It's not everything in our life that needs changing is bad. It's just not good. We're all been brought up in this world. We were all nurtured. And sometimes I'm nurturing, sometimes nature. There are things in our lives, there are thought patterns that are created from early ages, sometimes that don't serve us well. Sometimes there are prejudices in our life. Sometimes there is thoughts that are not healthy towards different groups, different people, different types. And they're all the things that God works on to change us and to mold us and to knock off those rough and sharp edges that are not required. When we read through the Apostle Paul's life, we read that's what happened to him. He spent 3 years, as it were, in the bottom of a river, so to speak, and just letting God work on his heart. A man that was very violent, a man that was killing Christians, a man that was spearheading the work against Christians and didn't think twice of persecuting people. God had to do something in his life, because once he became the Apostle Paul, he couldn't have some of those attitudes. He couldn't have some of that anger that he had. He couldn't have some of those understandings that he had. And so God had to work on them. So he came to such a place that he could say words like, to the Jew, I became a Jew. To the Gentiles, I became a Gentile. To those that were poor and in needy, I became one of those. To those that were outcast and not wanted by society, I was able to become one of those. And this man that once was just single-minded, focused on one thing, and everybody else was discarded, now comes a man that's rounded. Now comes a man that God has worked on and has become nicely shaped. But in order to win somebody else, he could be like them. He could sit alongside them and he could embrace them and understand them. And so there is a work that happens in our life. And most of that work happens in obscurity, when we don't think anything is happening. There is sometimes, particularly in church, there is a pressure on us that we have to be about doing things all the time. We have to be busy with things to do with God and church and everything. And all those things are great. But actually, sometimes it's important that we understand that just sitting with God. You see that with Martha and Mary. Martha was running about, running herself ragged. And then she had a bad attitude towards Mary because she was the one that was just sat down. She was the one that was at rest. You saying, you know, that she's, you know, Martha was saying, well, you know, here I am, I'm trying to feed you, I'm trying to set the coffee up, I'll set the projector up, I've got the microphone going and everything else. And in comes Lucy through the door. I hope there's no one called Lucy here. No, okay. And in comes Lucy through the door and she's done nothing this morning. And yet she just comes down and she sits at church and she has this attitude. And Jesus said to her, she's chosen Mary. She's chosen the best place. Now, I know that's probably not a good sermon for church because leaders like people to be busy and doing things. But actually, it's not always the answer. And here we find that Mary was just sat at the feet of Jesus. She was obscure. She wasn't busy doing anything. She was sat at the Master's feet. And it's important that we find our solace. It's important that we find our place of obscurity. And Jesus fought for his obscurity, even during his ministry. How many times do we read that he tried to get away from the crowds? He tried to get away from the people. He jumped on a boat. He went up a hill. He went on a mountain. He did many things to put himself away from people because he knew the importance of obscurity. And it's important the time that we spend, as it were, figuratively speaking, in the water. And just allowing God to do what he needs to do. First of all, he just wants our love. And he wants a relationship with us. He doesn't really want anything out of us. Everything that comes out of us should be as a result of our relationship with him anyway. And so we find here that this stone is finally ready for the Master's use. And it's important that we understand that as the work of God daily happens in our life, that there'll come a time, there'll come moments when we're just picked up, as it were, and put in the little bag. You're the perfect shape for this situation today. There's somebody you're going to meet today, and your shape is just perfect. Your jigsaw piece is just right for that lady, for that person, for that situation. You've got the right words at the right time for that person. And that's what God does. He just picks us up, puts us in his bag, so to speak, and he takes us with him. And that's how simple it is. And yet, in between times, Christians, sometimes we can get quite frustrated. Sometimes we can feel guilty that we're not leading millions to Christ. Sometimes we get frustrated because we feel like we're a failure and that we're not doing anything. The most important thing is that we're in relationship with God and that we're loving him and we're spending time with him. And then as a course of that, God will work on our lives. And at the right time, at the right place, he just takes a hold of us and uses us. I don't know, I'm of the era that I just remember when people were doing decorating that they would smear, what was it they used to smear on the windows? Is it like a...
Windily.
Windily. Windily. Don't really remember that. But I remember growing up and people put windily on the windows but wouldn't wipe it off. So you couldn't see in what was going on. Or newspapers, some people, I remember seeing newspapers in some houses, but the Windoline was the one that I remember. It was like this cream, wasn't it? You'd wipe it over the window, but they wouldn't wipe it off because they were decorating. They were doing work in the house. And because you couldn't see through the window and you couldn't see what was going on, there was no understanding of actually what work was going on behind that glass. And it was only on that proud day when a clean cloth was taken. You're smiling, I bet you used to do that. Yeah. It used to wipe the window lean off and show everybody down the road you used to leave your curtains open. Yeah, some guilty laughs in here. You used to leave the curtains, you used to wipe that window lean off and show off your nice new wallpaper or the fireplace that you've had fitted or your new sofa or whatever work that you've done in those rooms. And again, it's that picture of obscurity that that people looking in might not think there's anything going on. And yet there's a work going on. Somebody's working behind, stripping walls and filling and sanding down and electricians coming in and doing some wiring in, and maybe a gas fitter's coming in and he's putting a pipe in here and then the paint's going on the wall, the wallpaper's going on, and there's stuff going on all the time. But it's in obscurity. Nobody sees. But you know that the work is going on in your heart. Another little illustration is a bit like the old films that we used to take into Superdrug or into Kodak. We used to wind the films on. Then we used to take them in. They were processed in the dark. Nobody could see. They were in a dark room. And when all that negative went into the dark room, there was a work that was done on that film. There was chemicals. They were put through chemicals. They were put through a process so that everything that was on that negative came out as a beautiful picture. And again, just a simple illustration that it's in the obscurity that that picture was made into something that you could look at and you could reflect and say, oh, didn't we have a great day on holiday? Do you remember sitting on the chairs outside of the Kodak place in the precinct, and you couldn't wait to open your phone? I know we don't do that now, do we? It's just scroll through your phone. But I remember just going to pick up and your 24 or your 36 exposure, see how many had that little oval circle on, overexposed. But you used to look through your photographs and the excitement of them. But there was a work that was done to transform them from what was on that little tiny roll into something that you could take home and put in an album and that you could remember. There is a work that goes on in the obscurity of our life. And we need to understand that process is important. In Philippians 1 it says this, consider it pure joy when you encounter trials of many kinds. Because you know that the testing of your faith develops perseverance. Allow perseverance to finish its work, that you may be mature and complete, not lacking anything. And I think that is so important for all of us. Because fame, notoriety, popularity is not the end game. If that's all you strive for, it ends up being very empty. And actually, it's very shallow and it's very hollow. And where, particularly because we're in a church environment, where that has happened, and they've done many programs and that to higher their status in the church world, very often has ended up falling as quick as it was built. Because actually there's no structure, there's no strength in the people. Very often it's built up on hype and it's built up on expectation and just wanting the glamour and the glitz. But actually behind all that, There was no real structure. We were part of a church for 10 years. And there was some difficulties towards the end of Esther and I being there, and we were saying that it was very important that we get, because it was just full of young people, that we get some structure behind these young people, and that these young people understand the Word of God. These people understand what it is to put their trust and their faith in God. Understand what it is to allow God to change them and to work into them and to grow in wisdom. And it wasn't gladly received from the higher leadership, and we were sort of seen as the church police a little bit. And the end of that story is that it just all fell apart. And yet for sort of 8 years or so, people, you know, there was probably seven people every week getting saved. And people were coming through the doors, and it was great. There was a great vibe. There was something happening there, but there wasn't the structure. These young people weren't helped then, that during the week, that's where your faith is really tested. It's great having a jump about on the stage. It's great having a fantastic meeting, and we had the lights and the smoke machines, and we had all that, and all that was okay. I'm fine with all that. I've nothing wrong with that. But there wasn't the infrastructure that we were giving into these young people, and so we're not giving them a scaffolding and a framework to be able to handle their life in the week when temptations come along. When options come along that are not good and not healthy and that will pull you away from your faith, that will pull you away from God. They weren't given that sort of armor and that sort of equipment. And that's why it's important that what we build is good and is strong. Jesus grew most of his life in obscurity. The last thing we read about Jesus in Luke 2:52, the last thing we read is that Jesus grew in wisdom and stature and in favour with God and man. That's 12 years old, and we hear nothing else till he's 30. This is the Messiah. This is the promise. This is the man that had been prophesied right from Genesis, right the way through the Bible. This is the man that has come to change the world. And God left him in obscurity for 30 years. And sometimes we get in a bit of a panic, or we think, what's wrong with my life? Why aren't I doing these great and amazing things? And yet Jesus just spent his time with his Father in the workshop, serving customers, sanding down chairs and tables, being obedient to his mum and dad, and just getting on with life, living in obscurity, learning every day what it was just to battle against people. I mean, well, I wonder what it was like in the workshop. They probably had some colourful customers coming in there, you know, working alongside his dad and just learning how to live in favour with men. Learning how to live in favour with God. Learning wisdom every day. How to handle himself. How to hold his temper. How to hold his tongue. How to be kind to people. How to understand people and know where people are coming from. Because there was a day coming when he was going to be strapped to a post and he was going to be whipped to an inch of his life. That didn't just come from the fact that he was the Son of God. It came from the fact that he lived in obscurity, learning and growing. And developing such a character and such strength that even at those desperate times when he had the right to call down a legion of angels and destroy everybody that was inflicting pain on him, he could hold himself. That came from time, his time of obscurity. A man every day that had in his hands the ability to raise the dead. The man that had the ability to heal the sick and to cast out devils. A man that was full of parables and stories and things that he was going to change the world with and challenge the scribes and the Pharisees. He was living with all that potential in his life for a long time. Until the time came that he was taken, as it were, out of the stream. It's a perfect shape, perfect time, perfect moment where he became the Messiah. Moses spent 40 years in obscurity, being prepared. God making him ready for the job and the task that he had. David spent 22 years after being anointed by Samuel. He spent 22 years in obscurity before he came and reached his potential. There is power in obscurity. There is a work that's done in obscurity. Let me read this to you in John chapter 6. In verse 14 and 15, when the people saw him do this miraculous sign, they exclaimed, "Surely he is the prophet we have been expecting." When Jesus saw that they were ready to force him to be their king, he slipped away to be by himself. He could see that they were wanting to promote him. They were wanting to, but he slipped away. Not wanting the limelight, he just knew how to look after himself, and he slipped away just as they were wanting to put his name up in lights. Now I'm afraid if I was in that in those two verses, I'd say, yeah, how high is the platform? How bright are the lights? This is my moment. This is where it's all come to. This is the climax of my life. But Jesus just knew. He had wisdom. Then in John chapter 7, after this, Jesus travelled around Galilee. He wanted to stay out of Judea, where the Jewish leaders were plotting his death. But soon it was time for the Jewish festival of shelters. And Jesus' brothers said to him, "Leave here and go to Judea, where your followers can see your miracles." So here Jesus is being cajoled into a place where he could be noted. "You can become famous if you hide like this." Oh, sorry. "You can't become famous if you hide like this." Isn't this so anti-culture today? Mm-hmm. You can't become famous keeping yourself to yourself. What a challenge. What a challenge to a man that knew he was going to be the saviour of the world. You can't become famous if you hide like this. If you can do such wonderful things, show yourself to the world. For even his brothers didn't believe in him. Jesus replied, "Now is not the right time for me to go, but you go anytime. You can go anytime. The world can't hate you, but it does hate me because I accuse it of doing evil. You go on. I'm not going to the festival because my time has not yet come." And after saying these things, Jesus remained in obscurity. well, it says gallery here, but I just added something there. He remained in obscurity. Actually, he didn't. If you read on in John chapter 7, he did go, but he went undercover. He went, after everybody else was there, he went undercover. After saying these things, Jesus remained in obscurity. And I'm going to finish. I've got loads of notes here, but I'm just going to finish there. Because Jesus knew when the time was right and when the time wasn't right. And Jesus was cool just being obscurity. It didn't matter. And I want to say to us this morning that you might feel that your life is just behind that glass that's been smeared. You might feel like no one sees you. You might feel like you don't matter. But that shouldn't be controlled by what you do or what people say to you, because you matter to God. And that stone was so important while the waters were just going over it. And I like to have in my mind's eye that God was just protecting that stone. And he was looking down at the heavens, probably every now and again, every other week, and thinking, yeah, it's there. One day, David's going to pick that stone up. But at the moment, it's fine. It's staying where it is. It's just letting the work happen. Just being smoothed. And I want to encourage you this morning that obscurity is okay to embrace it. As a church, you might feel that you're not as noted as others. You're not as big as other churches. Other churches in Manchester, you feel, you know, you can, very often we can get imposter syndrome, can't we? We can feel like our time's out. I get the hint, okay, I'm going to finish. And we can feel very often that everybody else is doing really well, and I'm not. But as Paul says, that we don't use the measuring rod against each other. We don't use the measuring rod of success, but we use the measuring rod of God. As long as he's working in our life, as long as we're walking daily with him, then that water is constantly just washing over our lives. As long as we're available and we're loving God, there'll be times that we're just picked out that bag. There'll be times that God just uses your gentle nature, your funny nature, your humorous nature, your quirky nature, your weird nature, whatever it is, your experience, your wisdom, maybe your love and your compassion that's been worked into your life, the sympathy that you can feel and the empathy you can feel for other people will just be used at the right time in the right place for the right person in the right situation. And I'm trying to learn to be cool in obscurity. Then it's okay. You feel like there's nothing happening. There is. The power of God is at work in me to change me. Maybe this morning, just in closing, maybe there are things that you're aware of that you think, some edges need knocking off me. I know my reactions sometimes are not good. The way I feel towards certain people, the way I react, the anger that comes out of me, or the resentment that comes out of me, that people can feel. So I'll say this, that people feel us before they hear us. When we're with people, people feel us first. You know that when you meet people, you get a feeling about them, don't you? Very often sure about this person. People feel us, and we can't control what people feel about us. And sometimes those feelings are not good because of what is going on in our lives. And so I just want to bring that slight challenge to us, that allow those waters just to knock off the edges, just so that you become nice and rounded. And some things it's not compromise, but some things we can't change because of our attitude. We can't change somebody's orientation. Some people's sexual appetites. Some people's leanings into what they think life is about. We can't change that. But very often our attitude is not good. And it's all about building bridges. And that's what Jesus did. That's why he could sit with the tax collector. That's why he could sit with the sinner woman. That's why he was accused of eating and drinking with sinners. Because he was cool with it. There's nothing in him that rose up. So allow the work of God and allow the obscurity to be part of our lives. Lord, we thank you for this fellowship this morning. Lord, I appreciate the opportunity of being able to come in and share a few thoughts. And I ask, Lord, as we just carry on this service and we move from this place, Lord, that just as we're just doing life, as we're doing washing and cleaning and going about our jobs and just the things of life, looking after grandkids, and Lord, that you're constantly at work in our life, bringing to the surface the best stuff about us, bringing awareness of the things that just need some adjustment and some slight change, that we become rounded and shaped and ready to hit the target. I pray for the leadership here. I thank you for them, for their faithfulness in all that they do. And I pray as this fellowship continues to meet, Lord, and does what it does in this area, Lord, I pray your blessing upon them in Jesus' name. Amen.
Amen.